Yesterday, Venezuelans in record numbers turned out to vote on the future of their country, overwhelmingly rejecting the referendum to recall President Hugo Chavez. With 94% of the votes counted, the National Election Council declared Hugo Chavez victorious with 58% of the votes, meaning those who voted no to recall, and 42% supporting the referendum recalling Chavez. So CNN recently reported that the election observers endorsed the outcome. We're talking about the Carter Center and the Organization of American States. They conclude that there was no evidence of fraud. Joining us live from Caracas is Joellen Chernow from the Venezuelan Information Office. Welcome, Joellen.
Thank you.
Well, we originally were supposed to have Deborah James from your office on, but we can't locate her in Caracas.
It's a pretty exciting, dynamic time right now, so we're all just running around celebrating this tremendous victory.
Yes, so I should be saying, Chavez no se va.
They're saying right now, Chavez ya ganó. Exciting time.
Well, for those of us who weren't there, I mean, you've been up since 6 a.m. in the morning. Give us a feel.
All night.
So give us a feel. What were people saying in the streets? They're waiting in lines. I heard, you know, hours, 2-3 hours just to cast a vote.
Longer than that. We were speaking with people that had waited 7 hours in line. I spoke with one woman who had been waiting in Catera, which is a pretty pro-Chavista area. And I asked her how long she was willing to wait in line, and she said, well, I've survived a golpe de estado, I've survived two petroleum strikes, I've survived 40 years of oppression, I can wait a couple more hours to vote. So people were committed to democracy and to this process, and the lines reflected that. So it was really remarkable, especially from a U.S. perspective, to just watch people excited about the process on both sides. Especially in the U.S., where I don't imagine many people waiting longer than an hour to vote. So it's something that I think we can all learn from.
Well, so leading up to this vote, you had the opposition basically saying that they're expecting to win. Mm-hmm. And they said if in the event that they don't win, it would be fraud. So now that you've got two of the observers, the Carter Center and the Organization of American States, basically concluding that there was no fraud, what's the opposition saying?
Well, the opposition has, and the La Coordinadora Demócrata has come up against and has said that the process, you know, they're claiming fraud on some level, and they're claiming that the process was unconstitutional, that some people were turned away to vote, and that, you know, they're fighting this, unfortunately. But I think right now, Chavez, as he stated last night in his speech, or at about 4:30 in the morning in his speech, where there were thousands and thousands of people gathered outside Miraflores, which is the palace, celebrating this tremendous victory, that this is a time for unification, and it's a celebration of the Constitution that this worked, and it's a celebration of democracy, of real participatory democracy. So I think, you know, obviously Chavistas feel very excited about this. And on the opposition, I think that there are obviously some extremists that are against this. But I think hopefully the country is willing to move forward and to celebrate this process, really. And I think everyone recognizes this as a evolving process. So it's exciting. It's just it's a truly historical moment.
And we're talking about a president who survived the 2002 coup, survived massive strikes, and now survived the recall referendum.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that the opposition from some sides appears to be weak right now, in the sense that they are, because they did try the golpe de estado, it was a failed 48-hour coup, and the petroleum, you know, lockout, and that again was failed. So I think, you know, right now it's sort of, look, you tried this, it didn't work, let's move and work together. That's the message.
And so what is the administration saying? Because we're talking about 42% of the votes that supported the referendum, so it is a pretty divided country.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is divided, and, you know, from speaking with people in opposition neighborhoods yesterday, they were not prepared for this loss. Their confidence to a degree in the system and in the process was linked to their own victory. So I do think, because they were 100% convinced that they would that they would win and that Chavez would be revoked. It's going to take, obviously, some time to heal those wounds, and hopefully they will refrain from violence, although we have heard some intonations that they are claiming, you know, that they are preparing for violence, but again, that hasn't been completely confirmed.
Hey, Joellen, how you doing? This is Manuel Criollo.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Well, can you tell us, you know, what is the game plan now? I mean, what has there been any word from, you know, forces inside the U.S.? I know the Carter Center has, you know, essentially said these have been clean elections. The OAS is overall, you know, been very positive about the process. What is people in Venezuela talking about? What's the next step of the U.S. now that, you know, this process has gone through? What are they expecting? What are they trying to move? What they're trying to understand is moves that the U.S. is going to attempt now.
Well, again, I've been speaking with people in the streets, and you know, they're definitely really excited to see a North American presence and support for their process. And I think that they hope that the U.S. will mirror the confidence that the Carter Center and the OAS have shown in this process and support this referendum and the results of the referendum and support the Chavez government and the people, because this truly is not just about Chavez. This is a fight of the pueblo, and people feel that and feel that this is their democracy and that they're a real part of that. And I think as U.S. Citizens that are preparing for our own election, we definitely have some things to learn from how to institute a real transparent and fair process. So some people have jokingly, but I think honestly, have said if we need any advice, we can definitely turn to Venezuela right now.
Well, people are looking for some stability, and we just it's been said that the European stock markets went up on the news of the Chavez victories, as long as I'm pretty sure Wall Street, ensuring that there be no turbulence in the trading of Venezuelan oil.
Yeah, which is great news. And, I mean, here they want to continue the work and the programs. I mean, these social programs have been incredibly effective. Mission Robinson has educated more than 1 million adults in the past year to read. I was speaking with one woman who was an older señora in another barrio, and she had glasses, and she said, "I have glasses now, my teeth are getting fixed, and this is because of our programs. This is because of Barrio Adentro and SUMED, which is a pharmacy that gives provides drugs at no cost or at low cost." So there's just a tremendous amount of excitement about the continued success for these programs and continued success for the institution of real participatory democracy. So it's been quite remarkable how these people have been able to make that shift and recognize that it's their power.
Joellen, how is folks in Venezuela looking up for this upcoming vote? I mean, you know, I know early on Chavez was rooting on Kerry, saying, "Hey, Kerry comes out of the tradition of John F. Kennedy and the Kennedys." And obviously then Kerry didn't take really good to that news by moving relatively to the right on the issue of the recall. But, you know, I was reading just recently how Chavez, I think it was in the LA Times today, was saying, "Hey, at least when Clinton was around, there was some process of negotiations. Where with Bush, there's not even that sort of space."
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, recently we had James Petras on the phone, and he's saying nobody in Latin America doesn't care whichever capitalist, you know, party wins. They're both bad. But I think that's not necessarily true for a lot of third world leaders. They do see some essence of difference between them, obviously knowing that they both are very limited, but can see, you know, there's one process where you can negotiate and there's another administration you can't. Can you describe just what Venezuela is looking forward for this, our own upcoming elections in November?
I think they're looking for, because I think that they have, I mean, there is a tremendous amount of knowledge about U.S. politics in Venezuela and an awareness about our own electoral process. And I think that they hope for the same thing that many of us have hoped for in Venezuela, a true transparent democratic process where the people take the government seriously and participate in their politics. And I think that's what they really encourage us to do, is to vote and to participate and to hold our people accountable, and to accept the privilege that we have. And that has been said to us many times on the street. People have been encouraged. I mean, just this tremendous sense of ownership over their own democracy, and just real encouragement for us to institute our own rights in our own country.
Well, one thing I'm always struck of whenever I'm going to another third world nation, just the level of politics we're talking, people very aware that the role of the United States in meddling inside the internal affairs of sovereign nations. And so in talking about what is really at stake is what are we going to do here inside the U.S. to stop the Bush administration or any administration from curtailing what goes on in Cuba, what goes on in Venezuela, what goes on in El Salvador, and on and on. So what have been, in terms of Venezuelans, when you're engaging in conversations with you, what have they been saying?
They've been hoping that Iraq has definitely come up in terms of peace in Iraq, and definitely wanting the U.S. to respect their democracy and their government and the people's will in Venezuela in a real way, and the reforms that have been instituted here in Venezuela. I think concretely with just a sort of hands-off in terms of U.S. intervention with FTAA and economically, and allowing this country to continue to flourish.
And can you talk a little bit about being inside? You talked about the literacy rate. Tell us more about, in terms of how they've grappled with the issue of patriarchy and gender and trying to open up more spaces for women inside the administration and more space for women in their lives. And talk a little bit more about other reforms that have happened through the Chavez administration.
Well, it's really incredible, and I think what distinguishes many of what really makes the programs effective in Venezuela is a level of real participation in every barrio, in every community, that within the planning process and the institution of the programs. So today we went to Universidad Bolivar, one of the universities here, where there's just a where it's opening up to people who had never previously had the chance to study in universities. And their model is incredibly fascinating, where they're focusing on social service and civic participation and social work, communications, and regional solidarity, how to strengthen Latin American economy and free education, free school, free books, free materials, free food. And on the Bolivarian schools, children have access, get 3 meals a day. At Mission Robinson, which is the adult education, more than 1 million adults have been taught to read in the past year. And it was very funny, when we're talking with people outside the polls and they're waiting in line for for hours and just engaging them in conversations. And I said that in the U.S. and that the opposition's position was that Chavez was attempting to buy votes through these social programs and through these social reforms. And one woman said, well, comprame, buy me this way. Continue buying me. Buying me through these social reforms where I see a real difference in my community. So it was quite interesting. So, you've got Mission Mercal, where people have access to nutritional food or to great food with with nutritional food at low cost or at no cost again. And these misiones are all over in every single barrio. At 7 a.m. and at 7 p.m. you will see lines of people with their books in hand getting ready to going to class and getting ready to leave from class, which is just remarkable. And this amount of real, again, ownership and sense of civic participation that had never existed previously in Venezuela.
Oh, and another thing to mention is just in terms of Cuba's role. I think that the opposition has used Chavez's relationship to Fidel Castro as a negative point, but I think that those of us on the left need to defend Cuba as a socialist country that's existing. So socialism has not failed, and it's an experiment that's still going on and trying to in a U.S.-dominated world economy. But talk to us a little bit about the access of good and the strength of it now. So we've got Cuba, and we've got Hugo Chavez in Venezuela and Lula in Brazil.
Yeah, and we've got Kirchner in Argentina as well. So it's quite a great party we've got going. but I think concretely in Venezuela, I mean, the Cuban doctors obviously have played a large role in medical services in Barrio Adentro, which is providing medical services to about 60% of the population that had historically been excluded. So we're talking about rural communities that now have access, where doctors are going to people's homes and caring for their patients, are assessing the high-risk behaviors and nutritional sort of gaps in each household and developing the healthcare plan based on those deficiencies. But on a long-term plan, they're also training Venezuelan doctors in Cuba as well. So, again, it's pretty phenomenal, and I think the social programs here have been so effective and so positive, and there's just a real energy here to keep them going and to continue building a strong, united Venezuela. And, again, this is a process that takes time, and and I think what every Venezuelan recognizes on both sides right now is that it's an open process where you can have a dialogue and where that is what democracy is. And each side, to a degree, or each side articulates their position with a vigor and a passion for democracy. And it's something that I think is just really exciting. It's really remarkable to be here and to witness this just, I can't emphasize enough what a historical moment in history this is. Venezuela is making history and is hopefully setting an example for other Latin American and countries as well as the U.S.
You've been listening to Joellen Turnell from the Venezuela Information Office. You know, I was watching CNN yesterday, and, you know, there was an analyst, I can't really remember his name, but was saying, you know, man, if the opposition loses this one, they should just give it up, really, and they should just, you know, accept that they control the whole medium, they control, you know, they have a lot of power, and they, you know, fairly and squarely lost. And I hope that, you know, a lot of people here in the United States continues to look at the process in Venezuela and the way, because I think a lot of it's going to fall on our shoulders, both for this upcoming elections and where we're going in the future. So, Joellen, how can people...
Go ahead. I was leading into what I think your question was, how can people continue to promote these programs and keep this message going in the U.S.?
Yes.
you can go to www.veninfo.org, which is V-E-N-I-N-F-O.org, www.veninfo.org. And there as well, anytime you see an article or an editorial that is not balanced, write a letter to the editor. Let us know. You know, there's so many things. Hold a meeting in your community. Get Revolution Will Not Be Televised and play it. I mean, there's so many things that we can do to promote the democracy in these programs in Venezuela and the U.S. And I can't emphasize enough how important this is for Latin America and how Latin America sees it as being so essential as well as in the U.S.
Well, thanks so much, Joellen, for joining us. Joellen from the Venezuela Information Office. And for the folks who are interested, up at 5 o'clock, Susie Weissman will be speaking with James Petras about the geopolitical implications of Chavez's victory beneath the surface. But we'll be right back with Esther Portillo from the FMLN Los Angeles Coalition.